I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good afternoon. That's right, you got another scrub here. Welcome to the Kim Wade Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Kim has returned. He's doing good. He had a previous engagement. He's finishing up some appointments, some medical stuff that he had going on. So he's going to be out. He came back to a big triumphant return yesterday. Kim Wade yesterday, the return was quite anticipated. He crashed our servers for people accessing the live stream through WYEB.com or anywhere else they listen, TuneIn app, those kinds of things. He crashed the servers. Let me tell you, if you have tuned in on the streaming service, and you hear that me, this is Mike Madison, I do the 9 to 11 show here. If you hear a scrub, don't turn that off. You know, my boss, the station owner, is going to get a report. He's going to see if you crashed the servers anticipating Kim Wade and then heard my voice and turned it off. And I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be sent back to the miners. So stay alive. I've got some good information today, some things that you probably haven't heard during the 4 to 6 hour. I'm a little bit of a different bird. I'm a resident libertarian here, a freedom fighter. So I promise to be as entertaining as I can, but, you know, I think the schedule of me today was a setup to make me fail. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I've done to the other people at this station, but to bring Kim Wade back for one big show, have him crash the servers, and then the next day all of a sudden you hear my voice? Yeah, I think that was it's like opening night in a big Broadway play. Standing ovation at the end of it. The press hits. Smash hit here on Broadway, and then everybody goes out and buys tickets for the next night's show, and the understudy comes in. I remember that Seinfeld episode, the understudy. So anyway, here I am. I am the understudy. Kim will be back on Thursday for good. Alan Ramsey will be doing the show tomorrow. So stick around for a couple hours. We're going to have some fun. Like I say, I've got some information today, and I'm going to start with something funny. Well, not funny, ha-ha, but funny. Look how badly Democrats run cities. I know this is kind of along the vibe of the Kim Wade show. I ran across this clip. I mean, Democrats can not only not run cities, but they really can't figure out problems. Or let me put it this way. They've got interesting solutions to problems. And this may be the way that the Jackson is headed. You know, we're kind of on that corridor between Jackson and Chicago. And, you know, we know Chicago's got their violence problem. Jackson certainly is developing. We're like the minor leagues of gun violence to Chicago's professional ranks up there. So Chicago is not able to get their gun control their gun violence under control. I mean, they have huge gun control. They just don't know that doesn't work. The problem isn't the guns, it's your citizens. Did they get the community leaders together to denounce the violence? No. Did they fix the schools so that the kids who come out of school are actually going to be productive members of society and be able to find jobs? No, they didn't do that. Did they attract new industry, cut taxes, become business friendly to create more jobs, to get more people off the streets and out of a life of crime? No, they didn't do that. Did they address fatherlessness in the homes, fix the family unit in Chicago to tamp down the gun violence in Chicago? No, they didn't do that. They came up with a very different idea. Here's Chicago's here's Chicago dealing with gun violence.
The city of Chicago is installing hundreds of kits to treat gunshot victims. The Office of Emergency Management and Communications says 426 wall-mounted bleeding control kits will be installed at nearly 300 buildings across Chicago. They include City Hall, number of public libraries, medical clinics, and other kinds of buildings. Each kit has enough supplies to treat 8 victims.
I figure we can't stop everybody shooting each other up. Let's just put some Band-Aids around the city. 426 units. They've just, I guess they just, what, bolt these to the wall? 426 units, each one of them with enough gauze and, I don't know, morphine or whatever they put in these gun violence victim kits. They put 426 of them around town. Each one of them can treat 8 shooting victims. That should last them, what, 3 months? I'm sure these are restockable. That is assuming that people don't rip these off the walls, steal them in the first place, and take them home, because so many families in Chicago have probably got 8 family members being shot on a weekly basis. Might be nice for them to have a kit. Anyway, Jackson, there's an idea. If you won't do any of the aforementioned things, like fixing your schools, fixing your families, fixing your job opportunities, just stick up a bunch of Band-Aid kits, some gunshot wound victim kits around the city, and just call it a day. Let them shoot it out. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Mike Madison here at 103.9 WYAB, filling in for the great radio strongman Kim Wade. You know, he let me host his show a couple of times while he was out, and I really liked it. I liked the vibe. I liked the energy of that 4-6 crowd. So I was, air quotes here in the studio, helping Kim down the stairs yesterday after his show, and he fell, and he's out for a couple of days, and I got the mic again. No, he's out for a regular scheduled reason. Kim will be back full-time on Thursday. You know, I really just laughed when I said, you mean to tell me you were going to put the main event on Monday? Everyone's going to get all excited that Kim's coming back, and then you're going to just spring me on them on Tuesday? And my only solace was I thought, well, boy, Cliff and I are going to have some fun talking about, you know, what a letdown this was to have us here. And then Kim, Cliff, the producer, he bails on me too. He left town. He didn't want to be a part of this. So here I am. All by my lonesome. Hopefully you'll stick around with me. I told you you're going to get some information you're not going to get anywhere else. I'm about to do something pretty controversial, I think. Some of the statements I make within this are going to be controversial, but I may tell you about something you don't know. Recently, we had the 24th anniversary of the Luke Woodham shooting in Pearl. It was October 1st, if you remember this, if you were around. It was mentioned some in the news, and I never covered it on my show. I do a show from 9 to 11 during the day. But I wanted to mark it, and I figured this was a good opportunity for me to do that with a different crowd that probably, you know, maybe hasn't heard my 9 to 11 show and my stance on exactly what took place. The story is, on October 1st of 1997, 16-year-old Luke Woodham stabbed his mother to death with a butcher knife in their home, then drove to his high school in Pearl, Mississippi. He killed 3 people, including his own mother, and he wounded 7 others in the shooting. Of course, if you were here at the time, it was a huge event and really kind of kicked off what was, I don't know, school spree shooting season. I mean, we've been dealing with this ever since. But what I just told you, the recounting of the Luke Woodham story, is about all you ever hear. And it's left at that. The idea that Luke Woodham is still in prison. I don't know if he's trying to get out, exactly what's going on. But there is more to the Luke Woodham story and more to the story about school shooters. While we had a little bit of fun with the Chicago situation where I just played you the clip where Chicago has just decided, well, we can't figure out gun violence. We'll just put a bunch of gunshot wound victim kits all around town. We can treat 2,400 people. You know, that'll last us a few months, buy us a little bit of time. I guess if they call the police, if you're shot by somebody in Chicago and you call the police, they go, do you see one of those red boxes around anywhere? Just wrap it up. Rub a little dirt on it. Go on home. Well, we had a little bit of fun with that. The Luke Woodham thing is an indicator of something else that I think a lot of people do not understand. And I've been paying attention to this now for about 15 years, and I'm always surprised that people don't understand what's behind a lot of these school shootings. And not only the school shootings, but mass shootings. But in particular, when we're talking about our kids and tying it to this Luke Woodham situation, there is one thing that has left out a lot of these school shooting stories on the mainstream media. I know you can't believe that the mainstream media would cover something up or not do diligent reporting, but I'm here to tell you they do. They leave one very important fact out of all of these mass shooting situations when it comes to schools and workplace violence. Let me read you a different accounting of the Luke Woodham shooting in Pearl, Mississippi back in 1997. And remember, this was when school shootings really kind of started in this country. It's when they kind of became a thing. Now, Democrats love to point at these school shootings and blame anyone, anyone, the guns, right? They call every time these things happen, they actually get very excited. It's very perverse and very sick, but nothing excites a control freak Democrat like a mass shooting, because they think that's an opportunity for them to roll out people to call for, air quotes here in the studio, common sense gun reform. And so here's what the actual situation going on. We don't have a problem with guns in the United States. Guns are what keep us free, and guns are what keep us safe. We have another problem in this country. Here's another accounting of what took place on October 1st of 1997, Pearl, Mississippi. Luke Woodham, 16, shot and killed two students at Pearl High School and wounded seven others after beating and stabbing his mother to death. Public reports said the boy was taking Prozac. I'm going to read you some more of these stories. There's one common thread running through these. It's not weapon type. It's not color of the skin of the person perpetrating the crimes. It's not the settings. It's not the grievances. It's none of the backstory. There's one, you know, these aren't all guns. Some of them are machetes. Some of them are knives. But there is one common thread. Let's see if you can spot it. And believe me, I don't have enough time in this show to go through every example I want to, so I'll just hit some of the highlights, some of the ones that you'll remember, because these events, obviously, when they happen, they get national attention, and we hear about them for weeks, followed by Democrats calling for gun control. May 21st of 1998, not even a year later, 15-year-old Kip Kinkle, you remember him? 15-year-old Kip Kinkle murdered his parents and then proceeded to school, where he opened fire on students in the cafeteria, killing two and wounding 25. Kinkle had been taking the antidepressant Prozac. April 20th, 1999. Less than a year later again, everybody was familiar with this, Columbine, Colorado. 18-year-old Eric Harris and his accomplice, Dylan Klebold, killed 12 students and a teacher and wounded 26 others before killing themselves. Harris was on the antidepressant Luvox. Klebold's medical records remain sealed. Are you spotting the trend? May 20th, 1999. This was a month later. Conyers, Georgia. 15-year-old T.J. Solomon was being treated with the stimulant Ritalin when he opened fire on and wounded six of his classmates. Less than a year later, January 10th, 2001, Oxnard, California, 17-year-old Richard Lopez went to a Huneme High School with a gun and shot twice at a car in the school's parking lot before taking a female student hostage. A SWAT officer eventually killed Lopez, who had been prescribed Prozac, Paxil, and, quote, drugs that helped him go to sleep. Less than a month later, February 2nd, 2001, Red Lion, Pennsylvania. 56-year-old William Michael Stankiewicz entered North Hopewell Winterstown Elementary School with a machete, leaving three adults and 11 children injured. Stankiewicz was taking four different drugs for depression and anxiety weeks before the attacks. April 10th, 2001, just a little bit more than 2 months later, Waluke, Washington. 16-year-old Corey Badsgard took a rifle to his high school and held 23 classmates and a teacher hostage. 3 weeks earlier, his doctor had switched Bagsguard's prescription from Paxil to Effexor. The morning of the incident, his dosage of Effexor had been increased. Badsgard said he had no memory of the incident. And the last one I'll cover here, but I promise you, I could go on for the next 2 hours recounting these with this similar thread through there. March 21st, 2005, Red Lake, Minnesota. 16-year-old Jeff Weiss on Prozac, shot and killed his grandfather and his grandfather's girlfriend, then went to a school on the Red Lake Indian Reservation where he shot dead 5 students, a security guard, and a teacher and wounded 7 before killing himself on Prozac. And the thing that I'll say that's a little controversial, I can't imagine, I've got kids. I've had kids that have attended schools. What I'll say is controversial is it is a hell of a thing for a bunch of adults, largely in the psychological and the psychiatry and in the medical field, to drug up our kids with drugs. And if you'll stick with me for a few minutes, I'll show you exactly what these drugs do and why this is not a coincidence that all of these school shooters and mass murderers just happen to all be taking these drugs. I've done my research on this. If you listen to my day show, you've probably heard me cover it several times over the last 4.5 years I've been at the station. What I've come to is about 95% of all of these mass murders, not just kids in schools, but kids are especially susceptible to these drugs, but a lot of adults too. About 95% of them, eventually, it doesn't ever come out at first when you hear the story, but eventually, if you follow it through, you'll hear a psychiatrist mentioned in a follow-up story, kind of one of those things where they went and talked to the neighbors. Oh, he seemed like such a polite kid. He kind of kept to himself. And ultimately, after a few weeks, again, these are the follow-up articles, when the headlines and really the hype around these mass killings die down, you'll find out, Dr. Puffin stuff had treated him for anxiety or depression with antipsychotics for the last 3 months. And about 95% of these mass shootings are done with these drugs going through their systems. It's a hell of a thing when we've got a society where we have decided to medicate our children with extremely dangerous and volatile psychotropic drugs. And then when they are hit with a side effect by these drugs, and I'm going to list those for you in just a second, when they actually have their brain hijacked by the chemicals that some adult doctor, some adult psychiatrist loaded into their bodies, hijacked their brains, and when their brains short circuit and they kill a bunch of kids, we lock up the child. And my sister was killed by somebody with a gun. They were an adult. I am as sympathetic as I can be to anybody who loses a child or a sibling or anybody to gun violence. But these kids are paying the price for the hubris in the medical establishment that has been over-medicating our children and breaking their brains. If a child was walking down the street, minding their own business, whistling a tune, bouncing a basketball, and somebody walked up to them, injected something into their arm that made them homicidal maniacs, and they went another block and killed somebody, would we blame the child? Or would we blame the person that jumped out of the shadows and shot something into their arm that made their brain break? But these are things that are never talked about, are they? And it's strange, our mainstream media doesn't talk about the prescriptions' roles in these shootings. They focus on the guns, right? We've got kids that have to go in through metal detectors. We've got grief counselors. They're designing schools now with round hallways. Have you seen this? We tell our children to live in constant fear of a school shooter. We're terrorizing our children and refusing to talk about the one common thread. It's not a pistol. Not a rifle. It's not one of those scary looking AR weapons. It's not a machete. There's all kinds of weapons. There is one common thread through all of these things, and it's these psychotropic drugs we have been medicating our kids on. Luke Woodham was on one of these things. And so my heart kind of breaks for Luke Woodham. There's the controversial statement. Again, I've had a family member murdered. All due sympathies to people who died. But the fact that we won't look at the adults that took Luke Woodham down that path and broke his brain with a chemical cocktail is a crime. You notice that back in 1997 is really when these school shootings started, isn't it? You remember this? Mid-90s? We didn't hear about kids shooting up the schools in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. The 90s come around and suddenly, strangely enough, our kids start acting out and shooting up schools. Until the arrival of Prozac on the market in 1988, few children and adolescents were diagnosed with depression. The understanding before that time, as Harvard Medical School psychiatrist Ronald Kessler later wrote, was that, quote, mood disorders are rare before adulthood and that mood disturbance is a normative and self-limiting aspect of child and adolescent development. Translation to that into layperson stuff, kids are moody, their hormones are changing, and sometimes they're sad. Up until the late 1980s, early 1990s, we didn't medicate that in them. We let them learn some life lessons, like sometimes things don't go well. You have some sad days. You live to fight another day. You don't use the crutch of a psychiatric medication just because you're not always happy. So notice that Prozac really rolled out on our kids late 80s, early 90s, and suddenly we start seeing the Luke Woodhams of the world, the Dylan Klebolds, the Eric Harrises, the Kip Kinkles. The story goes on that I pulled up. However, once Prozac and other SSRIs, that's the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, came to market, these are all the antidepressants you hear advertised on television. I'll play you an ad from it in just a second. However, once Prozac and other SSRIs came out of the market, academic psychiatrists rethought this belief, the belief that, you know, children don't have depression. They began arguing that adolescent depression had long gone under-recognized and under-treated. And then with funding from pharmaceutical companies, they reported that clinical trials had shown that SSRIs were an effective treatment in this age group. By the late 1990s, the reconceptualization of moodiness in children as adolescents as an illness as opposed to a normative part of childhood was complete. Quote, until about 15 years ago, no one thought children could suffer depression. This is what the New York Times reported in 1997. Now experts estimate it afflicts about 4 million American children, or 5%. Same thing with ADHD. They've taken our children. They've taken some children who have more energy than others. And I'll submit, I know a lot of parents who load their kids up with caffeine and sugar and then medicate them because they can't sit still for 8 hours a day. You know, if your child wakes up and eats a Pop-Tart and a Mountain Dew for breakfast, don't try to put them in a chair for 8 hours. We have allowed these pharmaceutical companies, because I'm going to talk about vaccines in a little bit, don't worry. We've allowed these pharmaceutical companies not only to hijack what's going on right now with us with this mandatory vaccination of an entire population with an experimental shot, we've given these pharmaceutical companies dominion over our children's health for decades now. And it was not until they rolled these things out that we started seeing these school shootings. And I promise you, it is not a coincidence. I'll tell you what, I'll take a quick break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to play you one of these ads. You might have it memorized now. There are so many antidepressant ads. Last statistic I saw, there are 250 million prescriptions for antidepressants here in the United States each year. Why are we so sad? I thought we were such a great country. People have troubles, and our medical establishment has told us they're not just troubles. It's not just sadness. They actually call things situational depression. You know what that means? Sometimes things go to crap and it makes you a little unhappy. Now that's a condition that's treated with a dangerous psychotropic drug. Our kids have basically been pawns in an experiment, and every one of those kids that I listed to you that went and shot up their school, not only where there's senseless victims and poor kids and faculty members that paid the price from these people, but these kids themselves are victims. They are victims of the pharmaceutical companies and the adults who dared to start giving these chemical cocktails to our kids. I'll describe those a little bit better to you on the other side of this break. Stay with me. All right, we are back. This is Mike Madison here at 103.9 WYAB, filling in for the great Kim Wade. He will be back on Thursday for good. He's back. He's strong. He did a great show yesterday. I know everybody's happy to have him back and maybe a tiny bit disappointed to hear a scrub taking his seat today. How many white men does it take to replace Kim Wade? I think my last count was 6 or 7. I'm just one of the revolving group that comes through here. I am a graduate of Jackson Public Schools, so I should have a little a little credibility there. But we're talking about these antipsychotic drugs, these antidepressants we've been putting our kids on. A lot of people right now are looking at this idea that we are going to mass vaccinate our children who are not susceptible to COVID in any meaningful way. And people are looking around and saying, you're going to give an experimental shot to our children for a disease that does not even affect them? And you're scratching your head. You're thinking, what in the hell is going on here? Well, let me tell you, I've been talking about this on my show for almost 5 years now, and 10 years before that, anybody wanted to broach the subject with me in my personal life. The pharmaceutical companies have been experimenting on humanity for decades. They bought Congress. They bought the White Houses. They bought the health departments, and they bought the medical establishment. And we are the most, when it comes to our health, we are the most uneducated and over-medicated society on planet Earth. And they've been doing this stuff to our kids. I got to tell you, I'm going to talk next hour about vaccines. There's just some amazing statistics coming out. And for those of you who disagree with us, I had a caller today. He kind of triggered me. He said, why do y'all keep talking about not getting people not getting the vaccine or not wearing masks? You're doing people a disservice. He was a nice enough guy. We talked all during the break afterwards. I cut him off on the air because he wouldn't let me respond to questions he was asking. But look, that's fine. But when hosts here talk about these things, we bring facts and studies and things. We're not just out here pontificating and then telling you what we guess. And when it comes to these SSRIs, and look, I'm not here to judge anybody. I know people who have been on antidepressants. I think I took Zoloft a couple of times just because it felt, you know, it's presented to you like almost like candy. You feel a little in the dumps, a little low on energy. Here's a little pick-me-up. Mommy's a little helper. The medical establishment has been duping us for quite a while, and a lot of doctors have been in on it because the doctors are trained by anyone, the pharmaceutical companies. They tell you there's a pill for every ill. We've got some of the worst health outcomes in the world, in the first world, right here in the United States. And pharmaceutical companies, I lay the blame pretty squarely at their feet, along with the medical establishment. So I believe that Luke Woodham, which got me started on this because we just had another anniversary of his shooting in Pearl, I believe Luke Woodham is both a perpetrator of a violent act and a victim at the same time. That's not popular. And again, my sympathies to anybody who got hurt by him. It was a tragic event. I can't imagine getting a phone call in the middle of the day that your child's been shot sitting in their classroom. But I'm telling you, we haven't just raised this defective generation of kids. No, we're experimenting on them. And this is not new. I'm going to play real quick an ad. This is an ad for Abilify. See, they're finding out now, and I'm going to play some clips from a psychologist in just a second that should blow your mind. But they're finding now that these, you know, antidepressants don't really work for everybody. So what are they telling you to do? Now, I'll tell you right now, if you listen to my show from 10 to 11 o'clock every Wednesday, I'll tell you how to get your mental health in order. Your nutrition. You eat a bunch of crap food, just like it affects your heart, just like it affects your liver, it affects your brain, too. You want to be a healthy, happy, well-adjusted person? You need to give your brain what it needs to operate. But our medical establishment doesn't tell us that, do they? They tell you, what? What's your symptom? I got a pill for that. That's their answer to everything. So now they've got people, instead of realizing the failure of these antidepressants, and I'm going to go through the side effects of these things that these kids have been taking, and adults, in just a second, but instead of reversing trend and realizing, oh my gosh, we've unleashed do you think we're happier now? Antidepressants really been around in a big way for 30 years. Do you get the sense that Americans are much happier and easygoing than they used to be? I got to tell you, I'm looking around society thinking, these things, we feel more depressed, more agitated. But instead of rethinking this model, our health authorities are telling us, just stack them. If the first antidepressant doesn't work, it's like the vaccines. Oh, the first one doesn't work, so you got to get a second one. Oh, the second one doesn't work either. Got to get you a booster, and you know the treadmill you're about to be on with those, right? You're going to get a jab every 5 to 6 months for the foreseeable future. Otherwise, you lose your freedom. Well, that's what they're doing with antidepressants. They're telling you to start stacking them. So Abilify is one of these drugs that comes along and says, hey, if your first one's not working, stack it with Abilify. This is a minute and a half long commercial. The first 20 to 25 seconds of it is telling you how great it is, and you know what the second or actually the next minute of this ad is, don't you? It's warning you about what you're actually taking. This is the part people don't listen to.
It's me, and here's my depression. Before I started taking Abilify, I was taking an antidepressant alone. Most days I could get out from under and carry on, but other days I still struggled with my depression. I was handling it, but sometimes it still dragged me down. I'd been feeling stuck for a long time. So I talked to my doctor, and she added Abilify to my antidepressant. She said it could help with my depression, and that some people had symptom improvement as early as 1 to 2 weeks. I'm glad I talked to her. I wish I'd done it sooner. Now I feel more in control of my depression.
Boy, that sounds absolutely perfect. There must not... Is there any downside, doctor?
Abilify is not for everyone. Call your doctor if your depression worsens or you have unusual changes in behavior or thoughts of suicide. Antidepressants can increase these in children, teens, and young adults. Elderly dementia patients taking Abilify have an increased risk of death or stroke. Call your doctor if you have high fever, stiff muscles, and confusion to address a possible life-threatening condition, or if you have uncontrollable muscle movements, as these could become permanent. High blood sugar has been reported with Abilify and medicines like it, and in extreme cases can lead to coma or death. Other risks include increased cholesterol, weight gain, decreases in white blood cells, which can be serious, dizziness on standing, seizures, trouble swallowing, and impaired judgment or motor skills.
Depression was always hanging over me.
Yeah. Sounds like a real winner, doesn't it? Do you know that if you have proper vitamin D levels, your mood will improve? Give it a try. I really encourage you. It costs about $5 a month, and you're not going to overdose on vitamin D, and it doesn't turn you into a homicidal killer. Here's some other side effects of these SSRIs and antidepressants that we've been giving to our children. I've done shows on this. Do you know we have around 200,000 children under the age of one on antidepressants in this country? What Joseph Mengele Medical School are these doctors going to that they are giving children as young as 1 year old antidepressants? But it's happening right now. And again, I'm not here to judge. If a doctor has prescribed your child antidepressants, like everything else, you were duped. You thought the guy in the white lab coat must know what he's talking about. He's been to so much schooling. And so you've done these things. Let me say one other thing. If you find any of this material disturbing, concerning, do not start, stop, or adjust your dosage of any of these medications without constant supervision by a doctor. It is times when you are starting, when you are stopping, or when you are adjusting your dose that people have mental breaks. It's very dangerous. These things hijack your brain. Here's some other side effects. And again, we've been giving these to our children. SSRIs and SNRIs may cause nausea, vomiting, insomnia, sedation, constipation, fainting, sweating, headaches, palpitations, rashes, weight gain, blurred vision, tremors, shivering, high fever, and seizures. Emotional and psychiatric side effects include depersonalization. You know what that is, right? That's like seeing the world as a video game, where everybody's just a character. There's no love, there's no families, there's no consequences. They're just these inanimate objects to people. Emotional and psychiatric side effects include depersonalization, derealization, confusion, mania, and psychosis. In teenagers and adults, sexual dysfunction is common, and a significant percentage of youth may experience a severe inner agitation called akathisia, which is associated with an increased risk of violence and suicide. Studies of children and adolescents followed for longer periods of time reported that such side effects, and particularly adverse emotional and psychiatric effects, are quite common. In a study of 82 children treated with an SSRI at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, 10% became psychotic, and another 6% became manic. Quote, "One of the most disturbing adverse outcomes is a worsening of emotional, cognitive, or behavioral symptoms." This was written in a study. A North Carolina psychiatrist reported that 28% of 128 children and adolescents he treated with SSRIs developed some sort of, quote, behavioral toxicity. And you can find these stories. There's a website out there called SSRIstories.com. where you can see the exhaustive list. I read you a handful of them, of these kids that have committed these mass atrocities, like Luke Woodham, all of them on these antipsychotics, these psychotropic drugs. But they're never mentioned in the media. We vilify these kids. We vilify the guns. And, of course, the pharmaceutical industry, which if you pay attention to the news, is about 80% of the advertising that these major networks get. So they're not going to TT in their own bed. So they cover that up. That's why I'm doing the segment right now. Got a caller on the line. Caller, you with me? All right. They might have hung up. You're going to have to hold for a minute. I told you, as soon as they put me in here, after Kim Wade, after his triumphant return yesterday, even the producer left me alone here. He's like, I'm not going to be a part of that. When I come back, I'm going to play a clip for you from psychiatrists. What do they tell you about depression in these kids, in the adults? They tell you, oh, you've got, there's something wrong with your brain. You've got a chemical imbalance in your brain. You've heard that, right? This is what they're treating. I'm going to show you in just a second that that is also complete BS.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to get along, and so you're
back. All right, I'm going to finish up this topic. On my show during the day is 9 to 11. I do some kind of long-form radio stuff. I really dig down into a topic. I try to get people to start thinking a little differently, start spotting things maybe they haven't thought about before. All of these school shooters, a lot of the mass shooters that are adults as well, all on these psychotropic drugs, yet they refuse to talk about them. So I do. I'm going to play a couple of clips here. I'm going to move on to some other news next hour. You're welcome to call in. I want to try to get through this information this hour, so if you want to call, I apologize if I didn't take your call, but I'm trying to get through some information. This is the original Zoloft ad, and I want you to pay attention to one little bit of language here. You might remember this, the little, it's like a little circle with a sad face on it bounced around the screen.
You know when you feel the weight of sadness. You may feel exhausted, hopeless, and anxious. Whatever you do, you feel lonely and don't enjoy the things you once loved. Things just don't feel like they used to. These are some symptoms of depression, a serious medical condition affecting over 20 million Americans. While the cause is unknown, depression may be related to an imbalance of natural chemicals between nerve cells in the brain.
Now, I don't know if you really heard that. I'll replay it just a little bit. While the cause is unknown, yeah, this is what goes for science. You'll hear a lot about this around things like the vaccine. We think, we hope, we're guessing. I mean, they don't say guessing. They use a lot of kind of squishy words for what they try to tell you is really concrete science you can believe in. But you'll hear, you listen to the CDC director. She said, well, we believe the booster may. We hope that the booster does. They have no idea because they're experimenting on the American population and the world population. So I'm going to play this again real quick where they say, well, we don't know what causes this kind of depression, and it may be this.
The cause is unknown. Depression may be related to an imbalance of natural chemicals between nerve cells in the brain.
All right, well, you would think then, so I'm going to play some clips here from some psychiatrists, because we've had an entire generation of children raised on everything from Ritalin to Effexor to Luxar and Adderall. We've medicated our children. I'm not judging anybody who put their kids on a medication. Look, we've all been duped by the medical establishment here. You listen to my show from 10 to 11, I'll tell you the nutritional deficiencies that are causing a lot of these problems Americans are experiencing. We weren't so depressed. We weren't so depressed during World War II. Suddenly we get with the go-go 80s and go-go 90s where America's just, you know, living large. Suddenly we're all depressed all of a sudden. What, was there some kind of genetic problem with Americans all of a sudden where we became the most medicated society on planet Earth? Do you think that's an accident? Or do you think it's the same pharmaceutical companies that are running game on us right now with these experimental shots have been running game on us for decades? I want you to listen to these psychiatrists talk about, you know, if you've got a chemical imbalance in your brain, certainly they can test for that, right? I mean, it must be science if they're willing to put somebody on a pill that could cause them to snap and murder their own family. They must be really sure about the diagnosis, right? Wrong.
Total fraud. The actual truth about chemical balance is that it's an actual lie.
These are doctors.
Nobody has yet measured, demonstrated, or created a test to show that somebody has a chemical imbalance in their brain. Period.
What the American public should be thinking about
Dr.
is when they...
Dr. Grace Jackson. These are all psychologists, psychiatrists, and I was about to play a kind of rapid fire, some clips from man on the street interviews with psychiatrists and psychologists at one of their big conventions.
Or their loved ones or their friends have received a psychiatric diagnosis, they should be asking the doc, geez, doc, where's the chemical test for that? Where is the objective test for this? And I guarantee you that they'll be told, we don't have a chemical test for that.
And this video goes on to say, are there any medical or scientific tests for psychiatric disorders?
There are no biological tests for any mental illnesses that I'm aware of.
There are not current available tests to verify your diagnosis.
There is no test. There is no specific test to differentiate between, let's say, schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Not a single test.
Yeah, we have not really confirmatory tests for the diagnosis.
There is no test, there's no biopsy you can do that says this person is depressed, this person is bipolar.
We don't have anything really currently to identify mental illness per se.
So this goes on and on. These are all psychiatrists that are attending the APA convention back in 2006. They were approached on the street. They have no earthly idea. They just know they were told to pull out a script, a pill for every ill. That's the American medical system. Now, if you want to improve your mental health, you could do things like getting proper vitamin D, getting plenty of sleep, exercising, eating right. Do you know how much the pharmaceutical companies make off of that? Bupkis, zero, zilch. So they have turned everything into an illness. You got a rambunctious child, doesn't want to sit still in a chair for 8 hours at age 9. Must be something wrong with them. Medicate them. Turn them into a zombie. We'll get them through the day. Don't pay attention to any of the side effects. And most people don't even know what the side effects are of these things. Again, I'm not judging. I've taken these things. We've got a medical establishment right now. You can go into a doctor's office after the death of a spouse you've had for 40 years. And you're going to be sad about that death, usually. Not always, but most of the time. A doctor to help you cope with the loss, to grieve the loss of a loved one. They'll give you a pill. A pill, and a lot of times, that will addict you to it. But the most important thing is these things are snapping our kids' brains. When you see your next school shooting, you know the question to ask yourself. All right, we are back. Don't touch that dial. It's still the Kim Wade Show. Kim Wade, this is Mike Madison filling in for the great Kim Wade. He'll be back full time on Thursday. Had a couple of loose ends to tie up. He wanted to come and make his return. He missed his audience. His audience missed him, so he gave us yesterday. He's got a couple of days off. He will be back on Thursday. But don't abandon me. This show is turning into, if anybody's interested in just listening to what's going to turn out to be about 2 hours of a prison pounding on the pharmaceutical industry, then you've come to the right place. If you believe that, like the left suddenly believes, that the pharmaceutical industry has become some level of a charity or some benevolent organization, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and Pfizer. That's what the left now believes are all the great heroes of our time. 19 months ago, had you asked people on the left what they thought about the pharmaceutical companies, they had a clue. They realize they overcharged us for medications, largely, many of which we don't even need. So I'm giving them a prison pounding today while I've got this microphone for 2 hours. We're about to get into some of the vaccine stuff. And it's just fascinating because I'm not going to regurgitate anything that any of the hosts. We rarely ever repeat ourselves on these things. We just keep bringing you more and more and more evidence that this is a big swing and a miss and dangerous. They are experimenting on us. And my heart goes out to those people who were forced to take these things. I hope there's no long-term side effects. I know a lot of people who got these shots, they're trucking on. A lot of people are not. But we have no idea the long-term trend of this, and the fact they're coming after our kids with these jabs is just disgusting. So a caller called me earlier today. I'm going to admit to you, he triggered me. He said, all you hosts coming out here talking about the vaccines and the masks, you're doing us all a great disservice. And I said, look, I'm going to bring you the facts. You can make up your own mind. I'll tell you how my mind's made up, but you figure it out for yourself. So I wanted to bring a couple of things. You know, the medical establishment here is full of a lot of cowards and a lot of great people. That's probably every organization, right? Every profession. It's got their good ones, they got their bad ones. But the doctors who were keeping their mouth shut for the last 18 months, I got to tell you guys, I hope you're enjoying that paycheck because it took a big piece of your soul along with it. In Australia, they have really been abused down there. But the truth is coming out even in Australia. They are tangling with the cops. This was a general practitioner down in Australia. Got on the megaphone at one of their rallies, and this is what he had to say.
I'm an Australian registered health professional. I want everyone to know that every health professional in this country received a letter from the AHPRA, the Upper Australian Health Professionals Regulation Agency, stating that we must not say anything to any of our patients that might go against the government vaccination campaign. We all received that in around May. And so when you go to your GP, unless they want to risk losing their license, they cannot say to you what they actually think. That's all I have to say. I am not anti-vax. I have been vaccinated except for the COVID vaccine. I am not anti-vax. I want that to be known. I hope.
And that same thing has happened here. We've seen doctors have their license threatened for talking about ivermectin. Nurses are under the same kind of gag orders. Again, I believe this is New South Wales, so this is Australia again. But this thing is going on here. We've played clips of nurses who are coming out and blowing the whistle on this stuff, too. God love them. They're surrounded by brain-dead zombies. I mean, I talked to a doctor down on the coast a couple of weeks ago. He said, I don't know what's going on with my profession. They're walking around in this weird fog. They're just going along with all of these ridiculous things like masks and lockdowns and restrictions and just overall hysteria. It's happening everywhere. This is an Australian nurse.
I just wanted to share with you a little bit of insight. I'm a nurse in a Melbourne emergency department, and I'm not going to name which hospital it's at, but it's been pretty well covered.
Translation, I can't tell you the truth. I can't actually identify what this is going on because they will fire me for telling the truth.
Emergency departments are under some pretty trying times at the moment, and that is true. But what's not being talked about at the moment is, at the moment in the hospital I work at, we're getting about probably 20 patients an hour fronting up to emergency. And what they're here for is they've been recently vaccinated. They're experiencing a few side effects, like chest pains and so on. And, they're concerned. And it's putting a lot of pressure on us to deal with actual, severe cases.
Now, what's interesting about this, well, Mike, that's Australia. It's also Israel. It's also Great Britain. It's also Spain. It's just strange to me that we're all the same biological creatures in all of these different countries, similar demographics. As far as I know, we're all the same species. And yet, for some reason, they tell us in the United States, it's the complete opposite. That only people that go into the hospitals here are the unvaccinated. That's a statistical impossibility. I have yet, it's one of the questions, if you get talking to any health professional or anybody who thinks they know it all and tell you that the vaccines are safe and effective, ask them why it's not working and why it's not so safe in other countries. And these are all countries that take the Pfizer. They're taking the mRNA. I don't compare. There are some, I believe Gibraltar has had some terrible outbreaks of COVID, but they take a totally different vaccine. So I don't even bring that up because that's not what we're dealing with. I don't know if they do AstraZeneca or things that aren't being used here. So I compare apples to apples.
Now, what we've been doing is setting up, sort of mass triaging,
yeah.
Where we might have six or seven nurses triaging. At once, we do a quick ECG test, blood pressures, temperatures, that sort of thing, just to establish a few quick facts. We'll then give the patient the option to see a doctor, or if they're comfortable with, their ECG results, they're free to go on their way. But the more and more people that are getting vaccinated, the more pressure it's putting us under. And, It's a sensitive subject. We're not really meant to talk about this.
Well, it's difficult to know what the alternative, Mark, because you don't want to tell people not to present at the emergency department if they're unwell.
Yeah. So there you go. They've got their emergency rooms overwhelmed, too. It's just for a slightly different reason than they tell us here, huh? These are people who have just gotten the shot. Here's the BBC. Here's the BBC. And again, I tell you, this is England. I don't know if you've ever looked at people from England, but outside of their teeth, they look a lot like us. I don't know what's going on with British teeth. I don't know. It's a stereotype. I love the British people. I wish they'd fight for their freedom over there. They're starting to. There's just something going on. I don't know what it is. But anyway, they outside of their mouths, they look a lot like us until they open their mouth and you hear the accent or see the teeth. You don't know the difference between English people and Americans, but somehow they're having a totally different experience with the shots. Here's a BBC headline. I'm going to read you a headline from the BBC, one of these, you know, they've got their abysmal media there too. I'm going to read you a headline from the BBC. See how you hear this versus how they try to paint it. Here's a BBC headline. Quote, COVID-19 in Wales. A third of positive cases are unvaccinated. Wait, what? COVID-19 in Wales. A third of positive cases are unvaccinated. I mean, I don't know. I'm a public school graduate, but quick back of the envelope math there means that two-thirds are vaccinated. But wait, there's more. In the second paragraph of this BBC article, entitled COVID-19 in Wales, a third of positive cases are unvaccinated, in the second paragraph we learn that, quote, nearly 13% of hospital patients with confirmed COVID were unvaccinated. Wait, what a second? Nearly 13% of hospital patients with confirmed COVID cases were unvaccinated. Shouldn't that line read 87% were vaccinated? And this is of the hospitalized patients. Hospitalized. But they tell us here in America, we're having the exact opposite situation. But wait, there's more. Although 80% of patients have been double-dosed with the vaccine, public health officials said this is not evidence that the vaccine is not working and that the vaccines keep 95% of people out of the hospital. Science! Maybe this is why I didn't do well in science classes when I was in high school, because it makes no logical sense whatsoever, but they call it science. So this is the BBC in a roundabout way. I'm not even sure why they wrote this story. This is the kind of story they should have just killed. 87% of the people in their hospitals are double vaccinated. Here was a story that appeared here on Gateway Pundit. Bridgerton Emmy winner Mark Elliott Pilcher, 53, died of COVID-19 on Sunday, 2 weeks after attending the 73rd Emmy Awards in Los Angeles. Pilcher was double vaccinated and had no underlying conditions. According to his family, Pilcher tested negative for COVID-19 in order to attend the fully vaccinated Emmy Awards ceremony in Los Angeles, where Variety reported Pilcher took and tested negative on several COVID tests in order to fly from the UK to Los Angeles. Shortly after Pilcher returned to the UK, he fell ill and died from COVID. And if you saw the Emmys, it was only the servant class that was required to mask up. And here's something just to kind of add a dash of outrage against the Hollywood elites that have been endlessly prattling on about you need to get your shot, you need to wear a mask, what are you rubes and flyover country doing out there without your masks on? L.A. health officials said the celebrities didn't violate the county's mask mandate because there are special exceptions for Hollywood. Los Angeles County Department of Public Health said the maskless Emmys were not in violation of the county's mask mandate because, quote, exceptions are made for film, television, and music productions, since additional safety modifications are made for such events. And this was another one of those events for the sophisticated vaccinated people. Yet, strangely enough, in this, it's safe and effective, one of their double-jabbed, who attended an entire event of nothing but other double-jabbed people, somehow goes back to the UK and dies. Huh. Strange, isn't it? I'll be right back.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
I know. You just got in your car. You said, oh, my goodness, Kim Wade's back. I'm going to get on WYAB and check the man out. I've missed him. And then here comes me. This is Mike Madison filling in for Kim Wade. He will be back on Thursday, stronger than ever. Did a great show yesterday. Got a couple of loose ends medically to tie up. and he will be back full force Thursday and on. So bear with me for tonight. If you are interested in Fight Club with the big pharmaceutical industry, about to be with Anthony Fauci, I'm going to give you some more statistics. And if you want to call in just a second after the next break, you're welcome to call in. If you disagree with me and you've got some of your own statistics, because I got to tell you, I've been doing these shows now for 6 months. I've been doing on my show from 9 to 11, showing that these vaccines are not only dangerous, VAERS numbers are terrible, there's other things to them, but they don't work. They just don't work. And the hits just keep on coming with that. So if essentially it is every chart and statistic I've got versus people who say, but Anthony Fauci says, but Thomas Dobbs says, but the CDC says, and that is science to a lot of people. The hits just keep on coming. Here is here's Vermont's experience. Vermont's one of the most heavily vaccinated states in the union. On June 10th, they had really come down from a high peak in Vermont. So Anthony Fauci was doing laps about the success of the shots. They had about, at the time, this is June 10th, they had about 50% of their adults vaccinated. They were one of the quickest states to uptake the vaccine. And on June 10th, Anthony Fauci said, quote, "I feel fairly certain you're not going to see the kind of surges we've seen in the past." This was on June 10th. At the time, there were about 20 cases in Vermont per million. Since June 10th, now they're, I believe, around 80% vaccinated. They went from 20 cases per million to 300 cases per million in Vermont. A 15 bagger. It's 15 times what it was when Anthony Fauci was doing his victory lap. So spare me the, but Anthony Fauci says, because Vermont is certainly not where we should be looking. Where we should be looking, because the truth seems to keep trying to come out of Israel. It's just the mainstream media won't cover it here. A paper published September 30th in Eurosurveillance raises questions about the legitimacy of, quote, vaccine-generated herd immunity. The only thing we have accomplished here in the United States and around the world is herd mentality. We got herd mentality about 2 weeks into COVID as everybody huddled in their homes. And we knew it was confirmed when it came out and they went, oh, look at that. This thing's only, if you're under 60 years old, really under about 70 years old, your chances of dying this are almost nothing. You've got a 99.99% survival rate if you're under 60 years old. But we'd already achieved herd mentality, and we continued to freak out for another 16 months. I'm going to keep... Hold on one. All right, caller, if you're with me, hold on just a second. Let me finish this up. The study cites... we're talking about this idea of vaccine herd immunity, right? They keep telling us the numbers. We got to get 60% is what they started with. Then they said 70, and I think last I heard Anthony Fauci said, we got to get at least 85% vaccinated to get herd immunity. And then Joe Biden came out and said 97-98%. Well, of course, he's mentally retarded. But anyway, that's what they're shooting for. So they're looking at herd immunity here in Israel. Study cites a COVID outbreak which spread rapidly among hospital staff at an Israeli medical center. Despite a 96% vaccination rate, use of N95 surgical masks by patients, and full personal protective equipment worn by providers. The calculated rate of infection among all exposed patients and staff was 10.6% for staff and 23.7% for patients in a population with a 96.2% vaccination rate. The paper noted several transmissions likely occurred between two individuals, both wearing surgical masks, and in one instance using full PPE, personal protective equipment, including N95 mask, face shield, gown, and gloves. Of the 42 cases diagnosed in the outbreak, 38 were fully vaccinated with two doses of Pfizer and BioNTech's Comirnaty vaccine. I call it the Conformity vaccine. One had received only one vaccination, and three were unvaccinated. Huh. And again, I ask you, why is it in the United States, from what they tell us, we're having the direct opposite effect? It's very, very strange. It's almost like that's statistically impossible, and they're, anyone? They're lying to us here in the United States. Caller, are you with me?
Yes.
Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. That's Robert from Mobile.
Yeah, man.
You're absolutely right. And I've heard numbers from Australia. Was that the one you just cited, or were you talking about Israel?
You can pick them. I've just done both. I mean, you know, look at every other country, and you'll pretty much find the same results. It's just strangely they say here it's the exact opposite.
Yes, I mean, Australia, their health muckety-mucks would put out numbers not too long ago where the vast majority of the people be dying in hospitalized were vaccinated.
Absolutely. And did you see that their premier has stepped down? Did you see the story about that?
No.
Okay, well, guess why she stepped down? She's being investigated for corruption, and one of their legislators down there, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, he came on television and he said, look, Our premier, that's their president of, I think this was New South Wales, it might have been Victoria, he said, our premier has been getting tens of millions of dollars from the pharmaceutical industry to push this particular narrative surrounding COVID. And he said, this is on camera, he said, if the police want to contact me, anybody wants to contact me, I'm happy to disclose the details to them. 2 weeks later, she steps down, she's being investigated for corruption. And he mentioned, in particular, AstraZeneca and Pfizer.
Oh, yeah, these people have got, $1 trillion to spread around and buy off politicians, buy off people in order to promote this vaccine. And with that, you have to get, knives down every 4 months you need it?
I think it's daily.
I know people who got the shot not too long ago, and I'm talking about boosters. When would you need a booster shot less than a year after any vaccine?
Right.
I mean, this is the most insane thing. But you're not allowed to ask questions, and social media, and big tech is all in on the gag.
Well, if you look at social media and the big tech companies have got the exact same problem our media has gotten. If you go to Google, if you go to YouTube, you'll see pharmaceutical ads all over the place. Pharmaceutical companies have bought our media, have bought Silicon Valley, and have bought our politicians and our medical community. They've bought and paid for it. Well, let me take that back. They've gotten the American people to pay for it. They've bribed all these people. Now, we've been addicted to so many different prescription drugs and vaccines, and now this big money maker. So we spend all this money to give to the pharmaceutical companies. They peel off about 2% of all those massive profits and go around buying industries and politicians, so the game keeps going. It is a sick, sick joke.
Yeah, they're trying to convince people that natural immunity doesn't even exist anymore.
Right. That is so 2019, natural immunity. Yeah, we recognized it for about 3,000 years, but its day is done. It's all mRNA now, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not even allowed to. The thing is, they won't even allow us to question it.
Right.
And these companies that go along with this as well. We have wrecked our economy.
Everything.
For the sake of the pharmaceutical industry.
Yes, we've broken everything. Broken supply chains, broken the labor market, broken the educational system, broken people mentally and emotionally, broken people's health, broken the entire healthcare system, fired thousands and thousands of nurses over this stuff. I mean, they are taking no prisoners.
Yeah, and you wonder, to what end is this going to accomplish? To what end? When does it end? And then, like you said, they keep moving this to carrot, moving the carrot, moving the carrot. Like you said, it went from 70%, which that magic number Biden was touting out there, 70% to get herd immunity. Now you got to 70%. You want, 80%? You want 100%?
Yeah, well, Biden
said, less than 100%, you're not satisfied?
Yeah, Biden said 97, 98%. But I'm giving you these statistics. You know, as I said, I was triggered a little bit by a caller to my day show today where he said, you know, you guys are always bashing these things. I said, I bash them with the facts behind me.
Really?
And these are the things. I mean, Israel is the test case. They are the closed society of human beings genetically just like us, and they rushed out to take these shots. And the experiment has failed there, and they refuse to talk about it here in the United States.
Exactly. And I'll keep pushing. Which if this was such a pandemic that you had to shut down society, shut down businesses, and force people into vaccination, why isn't at least 10% of the third world country people dropping dead?
Well, I did
they
the stat
doing
today.
Nothing.
Yeah, they did a comparison between it was Portugal and one other country. I don't think it was Spain. It was I think it was uh, Iceland and Portugal were like 78% vaccinated versus one of the countries was South Africa and some other third world country where they had 10% vaccinated. The spikes were in the places where they had, you know, there were spikes were in Portugal and Iceland where they had a bunch of vaccines. And these little African countries are just going, what pandemic? What are you talking
exactly.
about? There's a pandemic?
I mean, there should be mass death in these third world countries, Afghanistan, all these other places. Why are we not seeing that? But you can't even ask that question.
Nope.
Like you said, everything, we ignore Australia, we ignore Israel, and although they said the opposite is happening there, it is the vaccinated people that are comprising the majority of the people going to hospitals and dying. But somehow in the United States, well, it's the unvaccinated.
Well, you know, one thing we're really good at here in the United States, and our bureaucrats and politicians are really good at wordplay. And one of the things I'm starting to really see, and my spidey sense is going off on this one, they talk about this is a pandemic and the hospitals are full of the unvaccinated. And then you understand what they classify as unvaccinated.
Right.
Unvaccinated is anybody who hasn't gotten both shots and is 14 days past that. So if you get a shot and then 2 weeks later you get infected, which happens a lot,
mm-hmm.
that's an unvaccinated person, even though they took a shot. If you take two shots and you get infected in 13 days and you go to the hospital, you are counted as unvaccinated. So they have set up these statistics and used semantics to make these things fit the way they want them to fit. But I'm telling you, this narrative is falling apart. The rest of the world sees it. People are rebelling against it. And I think it's going to fail here if people would finally wake up.
One good thing I have started to see is a lot of some of these basketball players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Have you heard some of them?
That guy. What was that guy's name that came out?
Beal and Isaac. Beal and Isaac, the two guys. That last name was Isaac. I can't remember his last name.
And that Isaac's guy, I should probably find the clip and play it again. It was one of the most calm, most rational, most difficult to demonize, common sense explanations I've ever heard. I mean, the guy crushed it with just common sense, logic, and a great demeanor to deliver it. I mean, he did a great service to a lot of people that went, yeah, he's you know, that's the guy I can go with. Yeah, it was really great.
Exactly. And Bradley Beal was the other guy. And if you watch him, he's the same way.
Yeah.
These guys are just asking, hey, I'm a young person. I've already even had it. I have antibodies now.
Right.
Are you telling me that now I have to take a vaccine? And the thing is, they want to discriminate against us based on what? Okay, discriminate. I'm not saying, should we discriminate? We discriminate men and women can't use the same bathroom. That's discrimination based on thousands of years of history of men and women being different.
Well,
justification for that discrimination.
Yeah.
Your justification for discriminating against us is, well, what? Well, you can transmit the vaccine, the virus to other people. Well, so they're vaccinated.
Yeah,
so
I actually had dinner. I had dinner with some friends, and you know, I talked about this before. I kind of hate repeating myself, but I know there are different audiences between my show and this show. And I talked to him, and he's not a dumb guy. You know, I asked him some things about the vaccine if he had heard it. I asked him some things about masking if he'd heard it. I asked him if he'd heard about what was going on in Australia and Israel. He didn't know any of it. I mean, his life is busy with other stuff. And so I asked him, and I said, well, knowing all of these things, and I kind of relayed the situation to him, and I said, you know, the CDC has said that you can still catch COVID and you can still transmit COVID if you're vaccinated. I said, so if you walk into a room with me and you're vaccinated and I'm not, and you can catch it and I can catch it, and you can spread it and I can spread it, why am I more of a danger to that room than you? And it was just interesting. I don't know how long it took, but it was pretty much he just stared at me for a few seconds. I could see the wheels turning, but they couldn't catch a grip on anything. He goes,
I know.
Hell, I don't know. I said, exactly. You know, and
yeah. I mean, critical thinking is just, and it really, what really bugs me, like I said, I'm an engineer. I work around a bunch of other people who are engineers. They are trained to think like that.
Yeah.
And they're short-circuiting when it comes to just common-sense thought and logical thinking when it comes to this vaccine.
Look,
when it comes to this whole virus thing.
There's
a lot of
instances in human history of mass psychosis, mass hypnosis, just mass mental breakdowns, and that's what we're experiencing right now. Anyway, thanks, man. I got to jump to a break, but I sure appreciate the call. Talk to you later. All right, quick break. Be right back.
Tear my heart open. I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much.
and my scars remind me that the past is real. I tear my heart open just to fail.
All right, we are back. This is the Great Kim Wade Show. I am your fill-in host for today, Mike Madison. Kim will be back Thursday, ongoing, be back full-time. A couple of things to tie up before he comes back full speed, but he couldn't wait till Thursday. He wanted to come in yesterday, did a great show. I was glad to hear Mobile Bob call in. He's a good caller, but it also means that I've got at least one person streaming the show today. Kim crashed the streaming service yesterday. My boss is going to come in tomorrow, look at the streaming numbers, and go, oh, my God. There were a dozen people on the stream. I hope you people are streaming it. If you wouldn't mind, if you're listening on the radio but you're at home, get on the streaming service. Crash the servers so I can keep my job. I thought so long and hard about, during the past few weeks, I thought, could I listen to a bunch of Kim Wade reruns and replicate his voice completely? I could just be the fill-in guy if I could just figure out the voice. You wouldn't even, none the wiser, and I could get my information out. I'm going to reiterate a little bit. I had a saying that I came up with. I don't know when I first said it. You know, the first couple of months of COVID, I got to tell you, I was a little like, uh-oh, what in the world's going on here? You know, we started seeing some pictures early last year of people in China falling over in the streets, look like they just died. I've got kids. I kind of enjoy my life. It scared me a little bit. I didn't know what we were dealing with. I give Thomas Dobbs the first two months of the outbreak. But he should have figured it out after that. And after about July, something last year, my quote was, virus gonna virus. That's just it. Virus gonna virus. All these mitigation efforts, all this hysteria, all this separating people, and it doesn't work. I'm going to read this real quick again. Caller, hold on. I'll be right with you. This is from Israel, and I just want to say this because, again, I got to tell you, I'm kind of still responding to a caller to my day show today who said, you're always talking about the mask. Listen to this. He says, we talk about the mask and the vaccine. We're doing a disservice to people. Study cites a COVID outbreak which spread rapidly among hospital staff at an Israeli medical center. Despite a 96% vaccination rate, use of N95 surgical masks by patients, and full personal protective equipment worn by providers. You got that? They were at 96% had taken the jabs. The patients were wearing the good mask, the N95, and the hospital staff has full personal protective equipment. They still had an outbreak there. And of that outbreak, 42 cases diagnosed. Only 3 of them were unvaccinated. And again, they were all wearing N95 and personal protection equipment. Virus gonna virus. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yeah, man.
What this looks like to me, if you get to looking at all the circumstances we've had and all the deaths that's been going on, vaccinated or unvaccinated, you know, these people planned this damn virus. It looks like a planned Holocaust is what it looks like for the whole world, you know. We don't know the numbers that these people are trying to do as far as depopulate the world. But when you've got people like Bill Gates and George Soros and these atheists behind this wheel, I mean, it looks like a damn planned Holocaust.
Something's going on, and I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I got to jump to a break. I went long last segment, but I got a clip when I come back of some people talking about exactly that same thing. And what I love about it is, it's a couple of people in the black community. They're starting to catch on to this scam that they're seeing go on right now. We'll never know exactly who the players were and exactly what the motives are. There's plenty of motives to go around. There's money,
exactly,
there's
right.
Power, there's control, there's crushing Main Street in favor of Wall Street, there's bailouts, there's big pharma profits, there's depopulation. I mean, it's got it all, baby. COVID was it checked all the boxes that these people want. But you're right. I mean, we won't ever know for sure, but you're right to be suspicious, man. I appreciate the call. I got to jump to a break, but I appreciate you.
Okay, Mike.
All right, talk to you later.
Speed,
thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, quick break, and when I come back, just a couple of short clips from a couple of guys. One of the guys went to college, and I don't want to judge anybody, but it sounds like a young gay black guy. I mean, it's actually a video. I can see him. I'm just saying, the voice, kind of a tip-off, but you just got to love watching people kind of wake up. It's one of my favorite things in the world when they, You know, they look around, they struggle with these. I know what I'm being told, but what I'm seeing is not, it's not the same. I'm going to play these clips when I come back. Stay with me.
All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment here. This is Mike Madison. I do a show from 9 to 11, filling in for the great Kim Wade. You know, sometimes you realize your mortality. You know, you ever look up at the stars and just think, boy, I'm just an insignificant speck in the universe. Through all of space and time, my life is just a small blip on the screen. Well, that's what it's like filling in for Kim Wade. Because I know, in about 6 months, somebody sometime will recall, you know, I heard a show. What was that guy's name? Carl? That filled in? My time is fleeting. Kim will be back on Thursday, so I know everybody will be excited to have him back full time. Anyway, we're going to finish up with a couple of clips, but I got a caller on the air that wanted to do something real quick and wanted to remind people about, look, people, it's time to get engaged. Playtime's over. We've all sat back. We've voted hard, thinking that people were going to save us. They're not. People need to get active. So we got Susan on the line. Susan, what you got?
I want to talk about the two rallies that are taking place. They're overlapping rallies that are taking place on either side of the Capitol building in Jackson on Saturday. Mississippi Patriots for Vaccine Rights is having one rally from 10 to 4, and they'll have terrific speakers lined up. You'll want to be at that one. And then across from the Capitol on the south side, Mississippi Against Mandates is there from 12 to 6 p.m., and they also have some exciting speakers.
Yeah.
So people are going to be there with flags, with banners, with T-shirts, and educating people about vaccine mandates.
Right.
Well,
and I got to tell you, people, you need to go out. Number one, you need to get involved. Number two, I've gotten involved with these, particularly these parents fighting these mandates at schools. That's kind of why I've started. I've found my tribe in these freedom fighters. You are going to meet some great people down there, and it's going to be inspiring to see people that are taken to the streets. You know, the right, people that want freedom, they're very slow to react. It is time for us to use the tactics that the left has used for a long time and get out there and take this country back and stop some of this stuff. This is a great opportunity to do it this Saturday.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Susan. I appreciate the call. All right, I want to play these clips real quick. These are just a couple of people. I love good waking up moments. It's a shame that people have to be sacrificed at this, you know, like Steve was saying before. I mean, there's a lot of things going on that are very funky. Our universities have been lost for a long time. We allowed them to go too far astray. What they're doing to their students right now with these vaccine mandates is absolutely insane. And these are supposed to be the institutions that are teaching our children. Listen to this kid as he finds out he's essentially getting kicked out of school for not being vaccinated, even though he's going to school remotely.
Dropping students after they've already paid for classes if they don't upload their vaccination status.
The Student Health and Wellness Center conducts the COVID vaccination, and we keep track of your records.
And you're calling to tell me you will drop. You're calling to tell me you will drop my classes after we've already paid $70,000 for the year if I don't upload something about my vaccine status when all my classes are online. That's what the call is about?
Correct. That's right. We don't want you unvaccinated people watching us through Zoom. It creeps us out. These are universities that are supposed to be teaching our children. Got a caller on the line. Caller, go quick.
Wanted to thank you for the report about the young people and those drugs.
Thank you.
Several friends who figured that out.
Yeah, it's a real crime against humanity what they've been doing to over-medicate our children and causing all kinds of problems, and people are just not aware that that's at the root of those things.
Well, the deceased friend of mine who taught school for 30 years told us, do not let them start your children on Ritalin. And, of course, he's taught in an all-black community. But that was the one thing he did tell his children, adult children, Don't allow that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
well, that's
this was in the 80s that he said that. He's been gone since early 90s. But I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, it's a shame he didn't have a public platform to say that, because it is out of control right now. Our kids are so over-medicated. Really, all of Americans are over-medicated, but it's just a real shame when you've got kids with developing brains and we're hijacking them with pharmaceutical chemicals with no idea of the long-term repercussions, but we're starting to see that now.
Amen. Yeah. Well, thank you. Have a good week.
Great. You too. Thanks so much for the call. All right, and back to Steve's point, too. What's behind this thing? He's a black guy. I don't know why that matters. It's just, I got to tell you, I see so many of the black community in masks, and I see so many people, you know, we've been rallying parents around Rankin County schools, Madison County schools, and I got nothing from Jackson Public Schools who want to get their kids out of the masks. So when I see people in the black community really catching a clue about this stuff, it excites me. This guy's in Great Britain, but he's talking about what's coming next, and it's this idea of build back better. You've heard Joe Biden say it. It's around the world. Boris Johnson in England says it. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, says it. They say it down in Australia. This is the globalist plan.
What we should do is lower taxation so people get to keep more of the money they earned and spend more of the money they earned. That's how you drive an economy. But I'm more worried about this build back better slogan that we just spent the last half hour talking about, because it's part of this great reset. You know, all the world leaders are now saying let's build back better. What does better mean? It's a subjective term, and who nominated them or elected them to...
Now, I'll tell you what better means. It means better for them. We're going to build back better. There are too many useless eaters on this planet. We're not getting all their money. The build back better, the better is for them, not for us.
Make things better by their own terms. We didn't. And what this is using this global pandemic as an excuse to implement what I would call a capitalist communist system. This whole idea that, you know, all of these leaders, they all meet in Davos. They all meet at the World Economic Forum and discuss how to essentially keep themselves elite and make an underclass of the rest of us. And that's what we're seeing come into play in real terms, in real time, and no one's standing up to fight against it.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because actually the MP did say that it means different things to different people, which is the worry.
Yeah, it sure does. Trust me. This is why I do not play partisan games on my show. I'm not mad at anybody who's a Democrat. I'm not mad at anybody who thinks different than me. I'd love to have a conversation with you, a debate. I'd like to bring you out into the sunshine. Because all of you are getting screwed. I've said it before, even on Kim Wade's show. Republican and Democrat, you're all paying the same new high prices. Black and white, you're all seeing the same supply chain disruptions. Young and old, you're all seeing Main Street get crushed. I don't care what side of the aisle you think you're on. You're on the losing end of this thing. I feel like I'm in the caboose of a train. I see it heading towards a cliff, and all I can see is people fighting across the aisles at the middle of the train while the conductor just takes us over the cliff. And I'm saying, you might want to pay attention to the guy up there that's running us towards the cliff instead of fighting with each other. I don't do two-party stuff. I don't do lateral hate. I'd like to convince a Democrat or a liberal or a conservative. Look, I diverge. I did a whole show today about I'm a libertarian. And I believe libertarians are conservatives that aren't hypocrites. You can listen to the podcast of today's show for an explanation on that. But this Build Back Better thing, man, it's a globalist deal. It really is. I know New World Order is kind of a trigger word that makes the whoever says it, you picture them with a tinfoil hat on. Man, they've got these plans. They really do. They're saying it. This Build Back Better is just New World Order dressed up in a new slogan. And it's coming our way. People better get involved. Quit the lateral hate. Don't separate from your cousin because he voted different than you. You're all in the same boat. That's all the time I got. Have a good day.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how